the podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry. This is James, and I'm sitting here with Josh Elliott as it's late on a Friday night to recording. And as we get started in this podcast, Josh, if you would, just take a minute and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. My name is Josh, 23 years old, and I'm currently serving as the youth pastor at Stancil Baptist Church. I'm also a full-time employee at West Alabama Bank, where I do a lot of work that's not that important or exciting to talk about. So that's kind of me right there.
Okay, so where is what kind of church is Central? How big is your group and the age differences and all that? Just tell us a little bit about your group.
Okay, well, we're a small country church. I average about 15 to 20. Ages range from right now about 11 to 18. The older group is actually graduating out, so I'm going to have more of a junior high age group where the average age is going to be about 12 to 13 years old. So that's kind of the group that I'm working with right now.
Okay. All right. So we know a little bit about Josh already, and we'll probably have Josh on the podcast from time to time. Just as we go through this thing. He's just a good friend of mine, Corey and Daniels, and excited to be able to talk with him about things. But Josh, before we get into anything, I just want to take a second and see just how you would define what an everyday minister is, and then what also kind of with that same question, what is everyday ministry? Like, how would you define that?
Okay, well, to me, first off, an everyday minister, I think that would be someone that, I mean, your purpose each and every day would be to minister to people in whatever area, whatever way God has called you to do that. And everyday ministry would be the product of that, of whatever you're doing to minister. Something, you know, however it may be that God's called you to do, but that this is something that you do daily in and out, you know, outside of whatever other stuff you're doing.
Yeah, so you would say that even though you bank, your ministry plays a part of that as well.
Right. I actually taught in a sermon a couple weeks ago is that, you know, my purpose in life is not to be a West Alabama banker, okay? My purpose in life is to minister to people, to share the gospel, and, you know, in the ministry that I have, my everyday ministry would be as the youth pastor at Stancil. So.
Okay. Well, that kind of is a good segue to get us into the first question that comes to mind when we're actually talking about youth ministry and how you experience it in your day-to-day life. And just kind of how is being in ministry and having a full-time job, how is that for you?
Well, being at Stancil, I am bivocational, so I do have to have a job just to kind of, you know, supplement the things that I need and have to have in life. And there's a lot of different things and a lot of different directions you could go with that. But one of the most important things for me in having a full-time job along with serving in ministry is that there's not a lot of time to procrastinate. There's not a lot of time to just kind of waste. You actually have to be intentional about your time, how you spend it. Because, I mean, I spend, you know, 9 hours a day at the bank. Okay, and there's a lot of preparation time that has to go into services and things like that. So it really helps you to be intentional with the time that you have. But one of the negatives is that, you know, while what I said earlier that, you know, my purpose is not to be a banker, okay, my purpose is to serve as a youth pastor at Stancil in my everyday ministry. One thing is that, you know, even with that job, you know, we have to do all that we do to the glory of God. And I think a lot of times, you know, one of the struggles with having a full-time job and also serving in ministry is the struggle between, you know, doing both of those. You know, whether it's, you know, I'm kind of slacking off at my job because I'm putting more into ministry, or I'm kind of, you know, falling off with some of the things, some of my responsibilities in ministry because, you know, I'm putting in a lot of effort at work, or I'm staying a little after, you know, to fill out paperwork or do whatever it is that my job calls to do. So I do think there's a struggle in that. But one encouraging thing is in Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Okay, you are serving the Lord Christ. So one positive thing that we have to look at in as bivocational ministers is that even our job and our ministry, all that we're doing it for the Lord. So that's kind of, you know, my thing with being bivocational. So
yeah, and then another good thing about Josh's full-time job is he works in Reform, which is the same city that he does youth ministry. And in my experience, when I first moved to Vernon as the pastor at this church I'm at, not too long after that, I actually got a job in the town. And because of that, I've met a lot of the people that I wouldn't have met any other way. And I imagine it's the same for you.
Yeah, definitely. Through being an employee at West Alabama Bank, I've actually got to make a lot of good connections, not only with, you know, potential people that may, you know, come to church or have kids that may come to my youth group, but, you know, just being able to, you know, plug in and connect to different people in the community and figure out different ways that, you know, our church, you know, my youth group can reach out and serve the community in different ways. And it also, you know, working my job right there in town, it also helps me to be able to connect to my church. And, you know, I get to share lunch with a lot of people from church, you know, on my lunch break and things like that. So there's definitely a lot of positives in that area as well.
Yeah, and one thing that Josh didn't explain about his setup is that he's not actually from the Reform area. So just like I'm not from Vernon, I know that is a big aspect and it helps it a lot. But okay, so as we talk about ministry, that is definitely a large part of ministry, is balancing it with everything else that's going on. But another aspect about Josh is the fact that he is single in ministry. And I know there's a lot of times people see that as such a negative thing. But I personally believe that it can be a very positive thing too. So just really, how do you balance that as well? What do you find that is a good thing about it? But also, what do you think are some of the negatives?
Okay. I've been single for most of the entire time that I've been in ministry, which is going on 4 years. And I do think there's a negative opinion of being single in ministry. And I don't think we should look at it that way. If there's, you know, guys out here that are in ministry that are single and you're really kind of struggling with the fact that, you know, man, you know, you're ready for God to send that lady your way and all that. I think there's, as society, even as a church, we've put a negative tone on that. You know, we always want to be like, well, we got to hurry up and get this guy married and things like that. But one of the real positives that I have found is that, you know, it's being single is a season. You know, being single, you know, that gives you an opportunity to be able to devote more of yourself, more of your time to God's calling for your life. Whereas, as you know, James, being married, having a wife, you know, that takes time as well. You know, you have to keep your family in order. You have to love her and take time to spend with her and all that. That is going to take time away from your ministry, which only makes you more intentional with your time. So, but I do think, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in looking for that because of all the things that, you want to be like, well, you know, I'm going to have someone there to support me. There's going to be someone on the inside to kind of help me out. And I think one thing that we look at, too, is, you know, in having a wife, it kind of makes it easier to reach the girls that you may have in your group because maybe, you know, there's different issues and things like that they'll face that you're just not really sure about, that me as a 23-year-old guy, I may not have the best insight on, whereas, you know, if I had a wife, she would have a great insight on things that young ladies are going through. But I think in that, you know, God's going to provide and he'll find people and, you know, he'll place people in your church and in your life that'll be able to come along and step in and fill that role when needed. So,
well, and I thought about that, cause that is the biggest thing people talk about in being single in ministry is not being able to reach the women, even as pastors that are single. But really, in my opinion, that gives us an opportunity as ministers to develop those within the church to fill those roles, like you right. said. But I also think it's funny that people so often think it's negative to be in ministry and be single. But in reality, when you look at Paul in Scripture, though it doesn't come out and say it directly, but most people would believe that Paul was single in ministry. And you see the freedom he had in that. So it's definitely right. a season for many. For some, it's their life. But it's just the important thing is taking those seasons and using them to your advantage, like you said. And just depending on God in those moments, just like any other situation. Like myself, I don't have kids yet. So this is a season where I don't have kids, so I have to depend on God more now and trust in Him in different ways than I will later on. Okay, Josh is, he didn't mention it on this take, but he mentioned it on the previous ones that we messed up. Josh has actually served at a different church before he come to Stancil. And it was actually a kind of different situation because it was actually in the same town, which is most likely not ideal, but it was what God led Josh to do. So how was that transition for you from one church to another?
Okay, well, in my situation, you know, my situation is probably a lot different than most, and not really to get into that, but transitioning within the same town from one church to another, it was kind of difficult, you know, but it's what God had. It's what God had in store. I had prayed and sought the Lord for 4 months that He would open a door to be able to serve in ministry the way I felt like, you know, God intended me to serve in ministry. And throughout the entire process, throughout praying and seeking Him, God was completely and totally faithful and had a plan for that. And I think one of the biggest things in transitioning from one church to another is just, you know, you're going to have, you know, for me, you know, serving there for a year with my students, you know, there was a love for those kids that it really hurt to leave. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, I knew that's what God had for my life, it was still hard to break those relationships there because, you know, they don't always see it the way that you see it and understand that God's calling you to go somewhere. But just really, once you get to that new church, just really plugging yourself in and building those new relationships and kind of, you know, getting the vision rolling on where you feel like God's leading you in your youth ministry and getting to that point where you can kind of be entrenched in that and be successful in what God's called you to do with that new church.
Yeah, and I, before, I don't think I've said this on the podcast, but before I come to Lighthouse as pastor, I actually served as youth pastor at two different locations in 2 years. And I had that same kind of transition from one church to another. And it was actually a very similar situation to Josh's. But in that 2 years, in that transition, and I moved from one city to another, but they were only 8 miles apart from each other. And the biggest issue I had, and I don't know if this is an issue Josh had, was not letting go as a sense of not pouring into those kids anymore, but not wanting to bring all them kids with me to the new church. And that was hard for me. And obviously, we don't need to teach kids to follow a leader, but rather follow Christ. But that was the biggest issue for me whenever it was transitioning from one church to another.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, for me, the church that I left actually, you know, they didn't hire someone right away. So I did have a lot of those kids, you know, following me to the new church, coming and wanting to be a part just because, you know, before I'd got to their church, there really was nothing going on. But that was one thing, you know, as much as you love them, you gotta teach them to understand that they're committed to Christ, number one, in the church that He's called them to serve at, and not a youth pastor, because as we know, as everyday ministers, you know, it could be any day that God calls you to go and do something different, you know, because it's not our time and our plan, it's God's. And that's why we really have to teach our kids to be committed to Christ, number one, and then committed to the church that they're in and not committed to the youth pastor, because we could be gone tomorrow.
Okay. So another aspect of your specific situation is that you're over the children's ministry. That doesn't mean that you necessarily teach the children's class or anything like that, but you have to oversee the events and things like that. Being bivocational, you hear about this a lot in a full-time setting where somebody is a youth pastor, but they're also over the children in college and all of that. You don't really hear a lot of it in the bivocational sense of things. How is that for you? How is it working with that team? Is it a good setup? How do y'all make sure it functions well? And just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, just kind of a basic rundown of, you know, what all is entailed in overseeing the children's department is just that, you know, any new curriculum, any new studies that they do, whatever, you know, I'm in charge of looking at that, finding that, helping them get that ordered, Not necessarily picking it out for them, but giving them some different options to kind of pray over and see where God's leading them. And just really, you know, helping them get that and have a good understanding of what they're teaching and all. And just really making sure everything's going right. You know, building relationships with the kids so that way when it's time for them to move up to the youth, there's already a base there. There's already, you know, a relationship that has been growing. And so that way it's not just something that, you know, you try to start once they get to youth. But other than that, it doesn't really entail a lot. It's just a matter of, you know, taking responsibility for the direction that it's going and kind of, you know, going down the list. You know, pastor, he's projecting his vision that God's given him for the church as a whole, you know, which is going to come down to my vision, and then kind of putting my vision out for the children's workers to kind of understand, you know, hey, this is the direction we want to go. We want to be preparing our kids. You know, a lot of times we look at the kids department as, you know, a time to just talk about Bible stories and a time to babysit, when in reality, just as youth pastors, we understand we're preparing our youth to go and become part of the church and to serve in a larger way. We should be preparing our kids the same to be able to come in and be ready to grow in youth. So that's really what it entails working with that. As far as in my situation, we have two great guys and two great ladies that teach the kids, the two guys on Wednesday nights and the two ladies on Sunday nights, and just kind of keeping on the same page. We meet about every other week and talk about what they got going on and what they're teaching the kids and all that. And I couldn't ask for better workers to serve with and just great people that love the Lord and love those kids. And that's the most important thing, guys, is that, you know, we get so caught up in the technical things of ministry and trying to make sure we've got the perfect program, the perfect product, when at the end of the day, when you've got people that love the Lord and just love those kids and are willing to serve in any kind of way, that's when you know you've got a successful ministry.
One thing that the way that this is set up and the reason why it's set up is that Josh's pastor, I know him well, Joey Lucas, and the one reason he has it set up this way that Josh oversees the children is, one, Joey's actually bivocational as well, but also so that Josh can have experience overseeing different parts of ministry, that if God does call him to a pastorate one day, that it gives him that experience. And coming from that same church and being over the children as well at one time, I will say that that is a big part of growing in ministry and being able to do that. It also helps Josh be able to develop leaders to help with the children, not only with the children, but also with the youth. Like one of the guys that he's got is Zach, and we actually good friends with Zach. Zach, he helps with youth events and things like that over time. And so it's really good setup, actually. I know sometimes it can be hard working with people and getting time. You know, everybody working and scheduling, it's hard to schedule things, but it's really good opportunity. But Josh, is there any other areas of your youth ministry that you kind of want to discuss, or are you kind of talked out, or what are you thinking?
Well, you know, one thing that I didn't deal with at the first church I was at this one is we have a large number of homeschool students. And I don't know if any of you guys out there that are listening you know, have experience with that or deal with that. But one thing that I found is that, you know, going in, I'm not going to lie, I was like, man, how am I going to minister to these kids that, you know, they stay at home all day, that they're not having the social interactions that we plug into all of our lessons? You know, we talk about what they're dealing with at school and the peer pressure and all those things. You know, how do we tie that in for the homeschool kids as well? And one thing that I've really just come to find out is that they're not that much different. You know, I've got two different kids that are homeschooled in my youth group, and you know, I say this as a joke, but you know, they deal with bullying just like, you know, the normal kids do. The two kids I got, they're brother and sister, and they beat each other up all the time. But really though, they're just like all the other students. You know, they're looking to belong. They're looking to be loved. They're going through the same struggles, just in a different setting. And so I just challenge you to not look at them differently. While we do have to take in the context of, you know, where they're going to school and how they're learning and the things they're going through.
Yeah, because the application of the teachings could be different. But not only, you know, talking about the homeschool difference, but you do have kids that go to private schools and public schools and all of, and you got some in, you got four different schools represented, don't you?
Yeah. So two public, one private, and then homeschool. But the basic application of what we should be teaching, teaching the kids, I mean, it applies in all areas. So I just challenge you to really just pour into them and love them and not look at them in a different light as far as, well, these kids are homeschooled, because I think there's always that negative appearance that they're not as social as others and things like that, when that's really just not the truth.
Well, it can be, but also it can be the same way with somebody that goes to public school, right? They can be just as socially awkward as anybody else. It's really just a personality rather than a life setting. So another big thing that you've went through is just transitioning with the youth ministry at the same church. Tell us a little bit about how it's changed in the last 3 years and just how you've dealt with that change and how are you planning to deal with that change even in the future?
Well, see, this has been a real learning experience for me and something that's been real different. James, as you know, whenever I first got to Stansel, I already had a pretty solid relationship with most of the kids that were there. And those kids were there throughout my first 2 years at Stansel. You know, I built a lot of really good relationships with them, relationships that still last now, where I'm able to, you know, not only minister to them, but, you know, serve alongside them and spend time with them as on a friend level and things like that. But what was really the hardest thing was that you spend so much time investing in those students over a 2 year span that, you know, when it comes time for them to graduate and they move on, you know, you've really at this point got a completely new group of students. And one thing that I found hard is that I poured so much into and watched a group of students grow so much that when the new kids got up there, it was really kind of like, how do I kind of let go of those older ones and the relationship that I'd built with them and learn to pour into these new guys in the same way? And that's one thing that I struggled with is not that I didn't love the new kids that were up, because, I mean, I pretty much have an entirely new group, and they're all, you know, really young. But just really, you know, just praying that God would instill in me that love for those kids that I needed to have. And like I said, not that I didn't love them, but so that way that, you know, I could find it in myself to kind of, you know, not in relationships I'd built, but kind of pull away from those and start pouring into the younger ones that are in there now. And that's one thing that's probably the hardest, is just letting go of bonds that you've built over a long period of time and realizing that, hey, I've got to start building these bonds with these new guys that I got.
Yeah, that is something I've never been through, because, as I said earlier, I was only at both of the churches in youth ministry a year, so I never had to deal with that. But I know that would have to be hard, because you don't want to let those kids go that you've got that relationship with. But also, primarily, your calling at Stansel is to be the youth pastor,
right?
Not to hold on to those college and not let them grow off and grow in a different way, but to pour into that new group coming in. And it's almost like, and looking at your situation from the outside, it's almost like a totally different youth group now.
I mean, it's completely different. I went from a group of, you know, almost 15, you know, seniors, you know, guys that were 17, 18 years old, that you're able to just really get in there and get down to business, you know, get in there and preach God's word and just have a time of worship where, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, they're mature and they're coming in there with the right mindset, to where now, I mean, I have from, you know, the majority 11 and 12 year olds, and they're buck wild, and it seems like they're always hopped up on Mountain Dew, and it's just a completely different atmosphere.
Makes you feel old, don't it?
Look, I have more gray hair now than I did 3 years ago, I'll tell you that.
Man, you ain't old enough to have gray hair. But man, I've enjoyed talking about this, and this is a conversation that me and him may be having in front of mics right now, but these are conversations we've had. We actually had a lot of these conversations when we were hanging out earlier today. But before we get off of here, What is as we end every podcast, I just want to take a time at the end to allow Josh to just say anything, add anything he wanted to say, and then also end it with a plug of the week, specifically one maybe towards youth ministry, and then I'll give one myself.
All right. Just a plug that I was kind of thinking about before we came on and did this was one thing for me, and I hear a lot from youth pastors in the local area that are bivocational like myself is, you know, man, I'm having a really hard time this week coming up with a game or something, you know, that I can play with the kids or whatever before we really get into the lesson that we have. And I just want to throw this website out here. It is, you know, the Source 4, as in the number 4, just the actual number, the Source4YouthMinistry.com. And there's a lot of great free material on there. They've got a lot of outreach activities, evangelistic activities, you know, all kind of different, you know, creative things. And there's a big review board on there. They review all the newest movies and TV shows that are out. And, I mean, it's a real good tool not only for bivocational ministers but full-time ministers and also the parents of the youth. So I just really encourage you, you know, if you're having a hard time coming up with some different ideas, you know, check that website out and get you some good ideas from there. They have some really good stuff.
One other – My plug of the week, as we're on the topic of youth ministry, is actually another podcast. I don't really know much about the guy that's doing it or his church setting or anything like that, but I just started listening to him, and it's called 15 Minutes with Frank. It's a guy, he's a youth pastor at a church. He's full-time, and he just really takes 15 minutes out of his week, and he discusses what he did in youth ministry the previous week. And not being in youth ministry, it's different. It's just informative. But he actually gives a lot of good resources and things to think about. I would just encourage you, if you're in youth ministry, or maybe you're listening to this, or you know somebody that helps with youth. Maybe they're not the youth pastor. They're just that couple that's doing youth in the transition period, or maybe the church can't find anybody or afford anybody, so they do youth. His podcast is just a really good, informative podcast, and it discusses youth ministry quickly. And what I love about it is it's only 15 minutes. So you can literally, if you want to go run a mile or if you want to go to the grocery store, you can listen to it and be done with it and just get some thoughts. Josh, you got any other resources or anything you want to add before we end it?
I just really want to encourage you guys, all you bivocational ministers out there, youth pastor or pastor, just don't give up heart. You know, keep striving forward. Lean on the Lord, because in our weakness, whether that be in our time or whatever, you know, God is raised up, God is made great. So just keep on out there. You know, God's called you to a great thing, and just don't give up.
As I get ready to end, I just want to add this one last statement that I'm going to try to put on here every week, but I may forget, is as me, Corey, Daniel, and then the guests that we have come on the podcast, we don't pretend to know everything. We don't act like we have all the answers. And as I sit here in this room in my office and me and Josh discuss this, between the two of us, we only have like 8 years of experience. And so when we started about the same time, so that's about 4 years apiece. And if you do your math on that, that's not a lot of time compared to a lot of people. So we don't pretend like we know all the answers and or that we have everything figured out. We just want to advocate a conversation between ministers as they go through life together and can encourage one another and build one another up. And that is our goal in this podcast, is that we provide this resource for everyday ministers so that they can be who God's called them to be in their current calling, if it be their vocational job or if it be their ministry. But as we get ready to end, I just want to encourage you that you can look up more information about the podcast on the two ways. You can look at it. You can look up the website on everydayministry.com, or you can go to facebook.com/everydayministry. Those two places, you can find more information about the podcast. And at some point in the history of this podcast, we're going to actually do blogs by me, Daniel, and Corey, along with the guests that we come on, and those will be on the website. But go like the page, visit the website, subscribe to the podcast. And I just want to encourage you once again to keep strong, run the race, fight the good fight, and do what God's called you to do. As we get ready to dismiss, this is the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministries get together to discuss ministry.